How does a pilot recover from an attack by the FAA? I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into the special feature. Thanks for downloading us today. We're concluding a conversation between ANN's Jim Campbell and Ed Jeska, a retired FAA inspector from the Birmingham FISDO, who's had all his pilot certificates revoked in what he and his attorneys paint as a thinly veiled vendetta. If Ed's take on this is accurate, the wrath of an embarrassed Birmingham FISDO has spilled out not only against Ed, but also against a respected veteran flight instructor, a charity, and even a bunch of terminally ill kids.
Ed, where do you think this leaves you? What's your feelings on the matter?
Well, I certainly can't return to the level of aviation I had reached before all this took place. It's just not financially possible.
So at this stage of the game, should you not prevail against the procedures put forth, and mind you, keep in mind we're dealing with administrative procedures, not the normal quote-unquote courts that you and I might deal with on a criminal or a standard civil matter. But if you don't prevail there, you're grounded.
Well, I can't officially go back and start from square one. I can work and get my private pilot's certificate back, and that would give me the opportunity to do something I thoroughly love, and I've loved most of my working life, and that's to fly in aviation. I've chosen that career path, and it's always been rewarding up until last year.
Ed, what is the issue with the Birmingham FISDO? Now, you and I talked some time ago, and I've talked to a number of people. They came to our attention last year, for instance, during a charitable airlift in which they surveilled a wonderful little activity in which children who had been dealing with a number of medical and other maladies were given airplane rides and given a day when they could just go out and have a wonderful time. This occurred on a National Guard ramp, as I recall.
Yes.
And which, by the way, as I understand it, was kind of a sacrosanct area that the FAA shouldn't even have been allowed to have access to at the time, but surveilled the area and created quite a hubbub there.
Well, that's correct. This occurred just after Ray and I had been had received our emergency revocations. And what I think happened, and the only reason I could even imagine that they would send people there would be Ray and I had been involved in this. Ray was one of the initial people involved with the startup of this organization, and it's called Dreams on Wings. It's a phenomenal event that takes place once a year, and terminally ill children and their families are provided a free ride by the aviation community. They volunteer their time and their airplanes and the fuel, and they just take them out for a short 30 to 45-minute planned ride from Birmingham out to over the city area and out to Talladega Racetrack and then back. And some of these kids aren't here today. Some of the kids that experienced that joy over the years are no longer with us. But last year, Ray and I had been revoked. Ray and I were active participants. We flew. We also worked the ground, safety issues. I attended all the briefings. Ray gave the briefings. I mean, this was a very well-orchestrated, safe, and secure event, and it was supported wholeheartedly by the Air National Guard on the Air National Guard ramp. For them to go out there and have the airplanes shut down with kids in them in the heat of the summer, and sometimes they made my understanding, I wasn't there because I had been revoked and I didn't want to bring any discredit to that organization, neither did Ray, so we both decided that we should stay away from there. They made kids get out on the ramp. My understanding, again, talking to the pilots that were there, they made them shut down airplanes. And some airplanes, you know, like if you're very familiar with the 200 series Cessnas, where if you shut them down in the summer, sometimes they are difficult to get started again, and so they leave them in idle. But they had a full contingent of safety personnel that would bring the kids out to the airplanes and secure the area if a propeller was operating or if an engine was running. So there was no safety issue here. This was probably one of the most safe operations on the Birmingham airport in a year's period. So it just rolled downhill from there, and it was turned into the DOTIG. They are still investigating it. It's been a long time. They can take my certificates in about 2 or 3 months. If they can't figure out what went wrong over there at Dreams on Wings, and it's been over a year now. So there have been letters back and forth. The administrator, the Southern Region administrator, he said that they had information that there was potentially illegal charters going on, and that's phenomenal. For him to make a statement like that, it's incredible, because this is a ramp that has armed guards. They are protecting United States military assets. They have a tanker fleet here. They will shoot you if you don't belong there. And I cannot understand how they can use that as a reason to access that guard ramp and create that kind of a problem for these kids. Beyond that, it's phenomenal. I can't justify what's going on. I don't see how anybody else can either. And it seems like Birmingham has been for years, years and years, way before I even got here, Birmingham has been on a list of offices that have just had questionable activities. And I don't understand it, because you have some wonderful inspectors in that office. And I can't say enough about them. Most of them have been hurt. For what reason, I don't know. But you have some great, very, very intelligent, very well-experienced inspectors that will do anything if it's focused on aviation safety. And the goal, I think, for most of us at the time was, you promote safety as a way of doing business, not as harassment or intimidation. But if you get a buy-in, if you get the buy-in from the aviation community that they want to be safe, and they agree with you that safety is their goal, then you should have no trouble. You'll never have a violation, or not an intentional one, because everyone's focused on the same thing. But I'm going to just guess 50 to 60% of the violations in the Birmingham office are probably unjustified. That's just my opinion.
That's an amazing statement.
In a moment, is the Birmingham FISDO out of control? You're listening to a special feature from AeroNews.
Remember what the future used to look like? The flying cars, the spaceports, the rocket packs and spandex outfits. That was some future, wasn't it? But hey, here's the real future. A Garmin Wass Navigator. It makes its own glide path out of GPS signals, so you can land IFR at thousands of airports with no ILS or other ground-based approach aids. Now that's a future you can believe in. Garmin Wass GPS. Follow the leader.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and no nice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Welcome back to the Aero News special feature. ANN's Jim Campbell is talking with Ed Jeska, a retired FAA inspector who says a vendetta from within the Birmingham FISDO has unfairly impacted not only him, but a number of people who did nothing wrong beyond being associated with Ed. Deanna Widener is one of the attorneys representing Ed, as his case moves from the NTSB to the 11th Circuit.
Deanna, if I can divert back to you here for a second.
Sure.
Birmingham, is this a FISDO out of control?
Certainly appears that way to me. I think there's, I'm not familiar with all of the other people, but I'm sure we're not the only ones. I have had some inspectors on the stand that almost appear to be proud of putting people out of business when, I'd love for somebody to look into it and see whether any of that was justified into revoking different certificates. I had an inspector on the stand that admitted under oath that he was given a monetary reward for violating Darby. And, yeah, I think there are some serious problems, and I have every intent to continue to investigate this and put forward my time and energy and resources to get to the bottom of what is going on here.
And as it stands right now, you're appealing both the actions against Mr. Jessica, Mr. Ledbetter, and, of course, the matter involving Darby.
That's correct, and there are several others. You know, I've written out a list of them in the written statements that we've given, and you know, I am not a aviation lawyer. I am a commercial litigator, and I have represented the Darby Aviation family in the past. And when this got to the point that it is, they brought David Anderson and myself in to try to work on this. So. There are several actions. We've been to Atlanta a couple of times for hearings, Nashville, D.C. You know, we've been all over. They just seem to come regularly. We get about, they're continually coming forward. I guess now that we don't have a 135, they should slow down.
Indeed. Well, I appreciate the opportunity to kind of get a look from the outside in at some of the people closest to the storm on this. When you have government agencies issuing press releases and all the attention that brings, it's interesting to hear from the other side of the coin in this scenario. And we certainly appreciate the insights involved here. Ed, I'm going to ask you, what do you think will be required to fix this kind of thing in the future? And we'll end it there.
I think management within the FAA has got to become focused on their mission. And whatever it takes to accomplish that mission needs to be addressed. And I think when we have, and the term rogue and thugs has been used a number of times, when we have that existing and people in Washington are aware of it and yet opt to do absolutely nothing about it, and they allow the status quo to continue, this is not going to change. I'm frustrated. I love that job. I would go back in a heartbeat to do that job because I respect the people in the aviation community and they respect me. We are honest with each other. And I think that if you did that across the board, if you developed that integrity and that honesty and the acceptance and the respect for one another, aviation would be safer. And I know we haven't had a big airplane crash in a long time, the last one being Colgan, but we don't hear about the small airplane crashes as much. And that was my focus because, we didn't have any. I had one Part 121 airline out of here, and I was part of the certification process, and I was also assigned to them, but they went out of business. So my thrust has always been the smaller airplanes, the corporate jets, the 135 operators, Aerovac, those kind of operators, those continue to have accidents. So we've got to address that culture. We've got to address how they look at aviation safety. And you can't force that on a company. They've got to buy into it. They've got to be partners in the program. And if we could just generate that kind of focus from Washington, Mr. Babbitt, Mr. Grizzle, and Mr. LaHood, they have all been made aware of what's going on out in the field, especially down here in Birmingham. So if they would perhaps come at this in a different direction and say, wait a minute, what changes do we need to make to be better accepted as an agency that is looking to improve aviation safety? And actually put a think tank together and maybe talk to some of the people out here in the field. Find out what their gripes are. Find out what the problems really are. You're hiding stuff from the FISDO. I know it, and they know it. When the FISDO now walks in the office, and it didn't used to be this way 5 years ago, when the FISDO walks in the office, the doors get shut. The drawers are locked. And unless you ask for something specific, you're not going to get it. When I was active and an inspector, I had people would call me and say, hey, we had a problem. And this is what happened, and we'd address it, and we'd figure out how not to let it happen again. Those days are gone, and nothing good can come from that.
Ed, is it your supposition then, and I'm going to summarize, I don't mean to put words in your mouth, but I'll ask you this. Is this an agency looking for solutions or an agency looking for problems?
I think it's looking for problems. I think we, at one point, well, you've been in aviation probably as long as I have or longer. There was a point in time when the FAA was really, really in bad shape. And they turned the corner. And I don't know what it was, whether it was leadership or, you know, out in the trenches. But it seemed like we were making a lot of progress. And aviation safety was being boosted. But then we turned it around again, and we've gone downhill drastically. So I don't, to answer your question, I think they're looking for problems and not solutions. Solutions are there. All you have to do is work at it.
Ed, I really appreciate your time, as well as having your counsel there to back you up and so forth, and as well as provide some additional detail on the Darby actions. I wish you the best with your fight and with getting back in the air. I don't think any aviator in the world doesn't sympathize with the position that you're in and fully understand that the task ahead of you is a big one.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you so much. We appreciate you giving a chance to share our side of the story.
Well, that's supposedly what journalism is supposed to be about, and this is why I was kind of curious why I hadn't heard anything from the other side on this. So we decided that under the circumstances, especially with the contacts we had, that this particular interview was not only in order, it was demanded.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you so much, everybody.
It's tempting to conclude that this is an isolated case of a rogue FISDO trampling the rights and due process of a former insider, and that it's unlikely to happen elsewhere. You might want to ask Bob Hoover about that. Or just look at the FAA's own April 8th press release on the Darby aviation action. It came out of Washington and quotes FAA Administrator Randy Babbitt. We've provided a link to that press release from the data block accompanying this AeroCast. Jim Campbell is CEO and Editor-in-Chief of Aero News Network. Ed Jeske is, for now, an ATP with 38 years of flying who's been grounded. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend and have a clear and unlimited day.